The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Parsha begins with an act of chesed, Hachnosis Orchim. Firstly, Hashem came to Abraham, and the sages of Chazal tell us to visit him, Bikar Chaylim, to visit the sick, because it was 3 days after Abraham performed the Milah, the Bris Milah, the circumcision on himself, and he was sick, he was in pain. This was a chesed from Hashem. But then it starts to tell us about the chesed of Abraham, and it tells us the story where he saw three people coming, and he thought they were travelers, and he saw that they didn't want to impose on him, and he ran to meet them, and he invited them to come in and to bathe and to cool off under the tree, and he'll give them to eat, and the whole story. And the Gemara learns many things from this case. The Gemara in Bamatzia on that page off in page Zion. We won't go through all of it. I'll just mention one or two things. But for the Gemara, it learns, for example, that Abraham said, I'll give you a little of this, a little of that. And meanwhile, he went and he brought, says he slaughtered three oxen. Mikan she tzaddikim emrim mimat ve'isim harbe. Tzaddikim, they say a little and they do a lot. They don't promise a lot. They don't like to promise. So they say a little. But when it comes to doing, they do a lot. Rishoyim, on the other hand, this was by the Bnei Ches, where Abraham was buying and negotiating for the Moras Machpelah, the cave of Machpelah, for a burial place for Sarah. There they said, we'll do everything and everything. In the end, they did very little. Rishoyim, Aimrim, Harvei, Vaisim, Naat. The Gemara says, for example, that he slaughtered three animals because he wanted to give them three tongues. It tells us that Omer of Yehuda, Omer Av kol ma shosa Avram lemalachi ashoris bi'atzmei osa akorish boruchu levonav bi'atzmei. Whatever Abraham did for the angels by himself, akorish boruchu later on did chesed for Klal Yisrael by himself. B'chol ma she'osa Avraham al yidei shliach, whatever Avraham did for the angels, he didn't know they were angels, through another person, osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu levonav al yidei shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for the children through a shliach, through another person. For example, v'al ha'bokar rotz Avraham, Avraham ran himself to slaughter the cattle, v'ruach nosa meis Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself brought the slav, the quail, to Klal Yisrael in the desert. Came down by themselves. Vayika chema, Abraham went and brought butter and milk by himself. Hine nimamti lachem lechem min hashamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu repaid Yisrael with mon, with bread from heaven, and that came down by itself. Hu emir aleihem tachas ha'etz. Avram stood over them and served them as they were sitting under the tree and eating. Hinini emir lefanecha shom al atzor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will be waiting for you by the rock. Avram holech imam l'shalchum. Avram went himself to escort them and to send them off. V'Hashem heilich livneihem yimam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went with Klal Yisrael himself to lead them. But when it came to bring water to them, he said, Yukach nomiat maim, let water be brought to you. And this he did. This he had Yishmael do. Bikisa batsur, v'yotzim mimeno maim v'shosa am. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not bring water to Klal Yisrael. But there had to be a medium, and that was the rock. He said, it didn't come by itself like the moon, didn't come by itself like the quail, but Moshe had to go to the rock and hit the rock in order for the water to come. At any rate, this case that we have here of the chesed that Abraham did for the Malachim, this is a classical case, which the Chazal learned many, many shoroshim, many principles, and many halachos from. And they served as many pillars of chesed for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael in the later generations. In general, we find that Abraham's life was full of chesed. The sages tell us, and the Rambam elaborates on this in the beginning of Hilchos Aveidah Zarah, that the main difference between Abraham and Noach and other Marishon, it states that there were 10 generations from Adam Arishon to Noach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no nachas except for Noach. And there were 10 generations from Noach to Abraham, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also had no nachas until Abraham. But after Abraham, it was a different world. What was the difference? Because Adam and Noach, they were capable of doing for themselves, but they did not extend themselves to bring the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the rest of the world. Abraham, on the other hand, not so. Rambam writes that Abraham grew up in a place where he was entirely divorced from those who knew of Torah. He had no Rebbe, he had no Chaver in Torah. And everything he studied, he had to study on himself, by himself. His whole city, and even his whole family, served idolatry. And he himself served together with them. In fact, as the Medrash tells us, that his father used to make idolatry and sell it. That was his livelihood, Terach.
Pick and pray.
Yeah. And everything he studied, he had to do entirely on himself, by himself. Bekiven shenigmal eisen zer, and he was a giant of a person, spiritually, mentally. And day and night, he studied. He examined the world and the universe that he lived in. And he questioned, how is it possible? This wonderful world, this wonderful universe, where did it come from? Where's its beginning? Where's its source? Who keeps the globe of the world turning? It's impossible, he said, for something to constantly turn and move and nobody is moving it or turning it. It's impossible for a world to create itself. Abraham, as a young boy, came to the conclusion 4,000 years ago, but the evolutionists can't come to the conclusion today. It's impossible for a world to create itself. Velohoye lebalamed, velemedia. He had no teacher. He had no one to tell him. And he labored and studied achehisik derechems until he uncovered the truth for himself. And finally, he came to the realization, "Shiyesham Eleikai Echot," that there is one God, "Vuhu Maniga Galgo," and he is the one that turns the universe, the globe, "Vuhu Borakol," and he created everything, and there is nothing else in the universe that is found here that is not from him. Then he realized, came to a second revelation, that the whole world has gone astray, has erred from this. See, two revelations. Firstly, he convinced himself through strong intelligence and proof that there is a master over the universe, there's a creator, and then a second revelation that the whole world has gone astray. Now what did he do? Some people would have merely given up. Popular thought means you follow the populace, you follow the masses. Others might have stuck to their guns and would have withdrawn from the world. Abraham did neither. Even he could be Yoda, Hiskil Lohoshiv Chuvas al Bnei Ur Kazdim, Velare Dini Mohem, Velema Shenzu Derech Emeshatem Holchimbe. When he came to this revelation, he started to debate with his fellow countrymen. He started to call them to task. He started to accuse them that they are going in a false way. And he became an activist. Shiber Atzlomim. He went and he broke idols. V'hiskel la'idia la'am she'in ro'i la'avet. Ela la'alaikaya oilam. V'lo ro'i lishtach v'isla ha'kriv la'nasich. Nasich. And he started to teach the people, this is the only one that you should serve. You should only serve the Almighty. You should only sacrifice to Him and to no one else. And you should break all of the idols in order that others should not also go astray. And through his rational proof, he was victorious over his opponents. They did not have what to answer him. But once that happened, Bikesh HaMelech Lohorge, the king wasn't happy. This was Nimrod. He wanted to kill him, to eliminate him. And a miracle happened, and he went away. Abraham left that area and went to another city. There he started to call with a kol gadol lechol ha'olam. There he started to call out to the whole world and to teach them that there is one God and He alone is the one that one should serve. And he went from city to city and from province to province until he came to Eretz Yisrael. And people came to him and they asked him and he taught them. And he taught each one in accordance to that one's ability. See, notice he didn't give over a mass doctrine, but rather he taught each one kefi daita, in accordance to that person's ability. Until thousands and tens of thousands of people gathered to him and became his followers. And these were known as the house of Abraham. And chibur by sforim, and he wrote books on this, the Yitzchak, and taught this to his son Yitzchak. Now, this was chesed of Abraham. So something he was not doing for himself. He was doing it for the world. He was doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was the difference between Abraham and Noach and Adam HaRishon and the first man. This is what states in our Parsha. In last week's Parsha. V'sanefesh asher osu b'chorem. That when they left and they went to Eretz Canaan, Abraham and Sarah took all the nefesh, all the people that they had created in Choram, Shabiru la'aisa, people that they brought to Torah. We see in our week's parsha that when Abraham heard that there was a war between the four kings and the five kings, and the four kings had gone and captured his nephew Lot, so again he went to do chesed. He went and he went to war against them, and fought against the four kings and overpowered them. Excuse me, this also was this is in next week's parsha. No, this week's parsha. What? Last week's. Yeah. And yes. And he took back everything that they had captured, and he took back Lot. And then Lot at that time was in Sodom, and they had captured Melech Sodom, and the king of Sodom said to Avram, "Ten li anefesh v'rachush kach loch, just give me back the people and keep all of the property." And Avram said, "No." He says, "Imichut ve'atzrech nal v'mekach mikol ha'sheloch." Leisei marani ashati es Avram. He says, "I don't want anything of this. You take it all yourself. I return everything." Here, a story of Abraham fulfilling chesed to save his nephew Lot. In our parsha, we have further where Hashem told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and all of those cities because there are roim v'chatoim me'od, very, very evil. And Avraham went and he campaigned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayigash Avraham vayemar. And Avraham went to Hashem and said, Rashi brings vayigash. The word vayigash means loshen kosher. He was ready to give strong words. Aftis Petzatikim Rosha, we will also destroy the righteous with the evil. See, here Avraham is doing chesed for cities which were Roim Vechatoim Me'ed Lashem, which were very, very evil. At least save the righteous of them. Further, we have a little further in the parsha, Perachof Aleph Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayita Eshel Bever Shova Vayikro Shom B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Then Abraham planted a tree in Beersheba, and there he called out in the name of Hashem. So Rashi brings the Gemara, Rabu Shmuel, Charoma Padis, Lohavi Mimeno Peiris, Lohorchim Besuda. One says that this was an orchard that he planted. From this orchard, he would bring fruit for Orchim, for travelers. Charoma Pundik, another said this was a hotel. Lachsanyo, he built a hotel. This was on the Derech, on the road. Ubay called Mine Pedis. It was a hotel that he would stock with all types of good food to eat. And when travelers would come, he would tell them to stay there. And Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem, what does it mean? He called out in the name of Hashem. Al Yideisa Eshel Nikra Shmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eleika Lechol Olam. Through this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became known through the entire world. Because when they would finish eating, so they would thank him, and he would say, "Don't thank me, thank the one who the food belongs to." They would ask, "Who does the food belong to?" And he would explain them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exclaimed that before Abraham came into the world, I was Elokei Shamayim, I was the God of the heavens. After Abraham came into the world, I was also Elokei Oretz, I was also the God of the earth. He brought me into the earth. From all of this we see that the main quality of Abraham was that of Chesed. And Chesed is the ultimate in goodness. A person who has goodness in himself and therefore wants to bring this goodness to others and is not satisfied to that his goodness remains only by himself. He could have lived a very good life by himself, like the others did. Didn't have to get himself into trouble. Didn't have to risk his life. Chesed, our rabbis explain, is when a person is filled with a superb quality level of goodness, and he is not satisfied that goodness should remain by himself, but he wants others to bring it, to share in it also. Therefore he's a tov umeitiv. He's good and he wants to bring this goodness to others, and he's restless if he cannot bring this goodness to others. And not because of right and wrong, and not because of compassion, not because of deen, and not because of tzedakah or rachamim. Moshe says chesed is both to the aniyim v'ashirim, both to the poor and the wealthy, but because he wants to bring goodness to other people. This is why it states titen emes liyakov v'chesed l'avraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu says he'll give chesed to Avraham, goodness to Avraham. This explains to us why when Hashem created the world and he said, Vayhi Or, let there be light in the world, and he created a physical light, a sun, the Medrash says he also had in mind a spiritual light. Also had in mind a spiritual light. Vizu Avraham, Shenikra Or, the spiritual light was going to be Avraham. At the time of creation, there was a physical light. Spiritual light only came 20 generations later, and that would be Abraham. What is the essence of light? The essence of light is something which does not limit itself to itself. Light must give to others. Light can't be for only itself. And the world needed a light. Just like the world needs physical light, it needed a spiritual light. A physical light, which would light up a world, that was created at the beginning of creation. The spiritual light that would light up the world only came about 20 generations later. That was Abraham. That's why the Medrash says, Vayhi Or, let there be light, Zu Abraham Shenikra Or. This was Kodesh Baruch Hu had his mind on Abraham. We can ask why was this Abraham's main quality, his principal quality? And that there is an easy answer. Abraham had no Rebbe. He had no Chaver to teach him the way of Hashem. So how did he learn the way of Hashem? The Gemara brings in Masechta Yuma, Yistakel bebira, v'hiker balabira. He was genius enough to be able to study the palace and from here understand the builder of the palace. He was a giant enough to be able to study the universe and from here understand the creator of the universe. Generally, the creator of anything will make a plan, a blueprint, and from there we can build a building. But there's also the possibility studying the building, from there creating the plan, and from there understanding the architect and the engineer that created that plan. And that's what Abraham did. It said he learned Kol HaTeira Kula. Kedem Shenitna. He taught himself the entire Torah before it was given, because by studying the universe he could understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu he could understand his Torah. Now naturally this takes an Abraham to do, but this is what he did. The Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's principal quality in general and in particular in creating the world was the quality of chesed. Why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? He said, Eilem Azeh Deim El Prozdor Eilem Abol Et Chakli. He created this world as an antechamber. He created the next world as a palace. Haskei Natsmecho. Prepare yourself in this world in order that you may be able to enter into the next world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world in order that we could gain the opportunity to bask in the radiance of the next world. This was the divine plan. So what was his objective? His objective was Lehetiv es Habriyos, to bring goodness to the creation. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's objective. So his whole objective and motivation in creating the world was to do good for the people. This is why it states a posuk in Tehillim, Amarti Olam Chesed Yibaneh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I said that I will create a world of chesed. The world was created because of my chesed. This was his principal quality in the creation. And in general, we see this in the world. Because we, who live on this world, are constantly taking. We're taking more than we think we're taking. There's not an instant that goes by in our entire lifespan, from the time we are conceived until the time of death, that we are not taking. We constantly eat, we constantly drink, and we constantly breathe, and we constantly absorb the nourishment and the light of the sun and the atmosphere, and the whole world is constantly taking. If we are constantly taking, this means something or someone is constantly giving. Where's it all coming from? It's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that his job is to give. Not to give once and not to give twice, but to give always, unceasingly. The fact is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would stop for one instant giving, the world would be destroyed. That's why it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh Bechol Yem. He gives and he renews, but constantly. One microsecond, the world could not exist physically, yet alone spiritually. Physically, it could not exist without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant giving. And if one examines the world, he would see that. It doesn't take that. We can see ourselves. We might not see everything, but we could see some of it. The fish in the greatest depths of the ocean, and the birds that fly the highest in the heavens, or the solar systems, or in the most remote areas, constantly need life being given to them every second. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a giver all of the time. This is his quality of chesed. And if Avraham came to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu only through looking through the world and through his acts, this is what he would have seen. This quality of never-ending giving of chesed. And it has to be this way by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be. Because there is giving and there is taking. By earthly beings, it's possible both. We can sometimes give, we can sometimes take. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only is he a giver, but he is a giver at a level that no one else can be, and it's impossible for him to take. The Maral explains why. First of all, he's a giver at a level that no one else can be because he's Echod. Echod means he is the one source. The Rambam explains that if everything would disappear, it wouldn't affect Hashem. Because who ain't tluyim behem? Because he's not dependent on anything. But if he would disappear, then everything would vanish, because I call tluyim bei, because everything is dependent on him. Everything is dependent on everything else. He is the only true independent entity, which means everything must always be taken. He's the true source. The source must give. It would be like you have waters and waters and waters, and you find that it's coming from one spring. So that's the source. It's all taken from the spring. Everything takes from him. Well, let's put it this way. Everything takes from something else. But that something else takes from also something else. Until eventually it comes to the Echod, to Hashem. He takes from no one because it originates there. So his level of giving is at a level that no one's giving is at. And it's impossible for him to be a makabel to accept. The Maral explains, for example, if you have a vessel that's full of water, cannot accept any more water. The only time you can accept something, if there is a need for it, if there is something lacking by you, then you can accept it. But if something is not lacking, if you're totally complete in your own right, then you cannot accept anything further. You have a vessel that's half full, can become a recipient of more water. That's totally full, cannot become a recipient any further. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. So he cannot accept. At the same time, he's the source of all giving. So in essence, he is the giver. Achazal tells us, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, says in the Torah that you should walk after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hadbek bin Midesov. Cleave to his qualities. This is what Abraham did. And he saw a world of chesed. He saw a God, a force, a God of chesed. This he developed in himself. Just as we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Metzius of Chesed, the entity of goodness which is constantly, this goodness is emanating constantly from him to others. It's an entity of Chesed. Chazal tells us also that Torah also is the entity of Chesed. And this also is, has to be like that, because it states Kuchibricha v'yaraisa chatu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah is one. And if the Torah is the will of Hashem, it also has to be of the same fabric. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Seita and Daf Yud Daled, it says Dorish Rab Samloi, Rab Samloi darshind Torah Tchilosa Gemilas Chasodim Vesefa Gemilas Chasodim. The Torah begins with a case of Chesed, ends with a case of Chesed. The Medrash adds words to this, Leimaloch Shekula Chesed, to tell you that the whole fabric of Torah is that of Gemilas Chesed. Begins with Chesed because it states Vayasa Hashem Elokim Lodom Lishta Kosnasor V'Yalbishem, that when the first man and woman, they recognized, they ate from the tree, from the Eitz Hadas, and they recognized that they were naked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Chesed for them, and he himself went and made them clothing. Sefer Gemilas Chasodim, it ends with Chesed. Vayikvar Eisei Begai, Vayikvar Eisei Begai, that Meisha died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself buried him. And the Medrash, as I said, teaches us Shekula Chesed. The reason for this is because Torah also is a source of life to the world. It gives life. We say V'chayel Olam Nota B'Shulchenu. Through Torah we have a never-ending life. And through Torah we gain life in this world and life in the next. Could you give me that red silver up on top there, please? No, no, further to the right, the red one. That's right. Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you. The Mishnah Novice tells us in Perek Shishi, Mishnah Zayin Gedei Leteira Shihinesen Ischaim Le'eseho, how great is Torah because it gives life to those who study and fulfill it. Be'elam hazeh, be'elam abo, in this world and the next world. Shinemar, as it states, ki chayim heim lemeitzeihem ulechol besorei marpei. It's life to all of those that find it, and it cures all flesh. It's chayim heilam achazikim bo. It's a tree of life for those who uphold it. Erech yamin bimino, length of days are in the on the right side of Torah. Bismela eshev akopet, and the left hand of Torah, left side of Torah, is wealth and honor. The greatest chesed that one can do is to bring Torah to others, because then he's bringing him life, he's bringing him a fabric of life. And the sages tell us this is greater than even bringing him bread, because bread will sustain him in this world, but it will not give him another world. You bring someone Torah, you're giving him two worlds. And this was Abraham and Sarah. Esa nefesh asher osu b'chor. They dedicated their lives to bring Torah to others, and to be makarven abrias lamokam, to bring people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah Novah states, the Mishnah Bamatzia states, in Perek Eile Metzias, Oviv Mevi Yilidei Chai Eile Mazer. Father brings a person into this world. In other words, he physically brought him into this world. He gives him the physical world. But Rabbi, Shalom de Tera, but a Rebbe that taught someone Torah, is Meviu Lidei Olam Habo. He brings him even into the next world. And that's why it states, Amalamed Leben Chaveire Ki Leyolde, that if someone teaches Torah to a Ben Chaveire, to a son of his friend, it's as if he's conceiving him, it's as if he's giving him a whole world. The the Gemara brings in Perek Lulav Arova in Masechta Sukkah, it states Pio Poskel Bechochma Veseres Chesed Alishena. Her mouth opens with wisdom, and the Torah of Chesed is on her tongue. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean, Torah's Chesed? A Torah of Chesed. V'chi yesh Torah's Chesed, the Torah she'ena shel Chesed. Is there a Torah which has Chesed and a Torah which does not have Chesed? So the Gemara says yes. Torah she'leil lamdo, a Torah that one studies for himself, that's a Torah that's not Chesed. Torah lalamdo, a Torah that one studies to teach others, that's Torah's Chesed, because there he's giving that goodness to others also. The Rambam brings in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam does not list the mitzvah of studying Torah and the mitzvah of teaching Torah as two separate mitzvahs. He lists them as one mitzvah. He says, mitzvahs Talmud Torah, I believe it's mitzvahs Esei Ches, where he writes this, mitzvahs Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, zu lilmaid ulalamdo, ulalamid. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to study Torah and to teach it. That's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In other words, if one studies Torah and he does not teach it, then he is lacking in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Another example of this. For example, the Gemara says, Tineke shel beis rabban, children in a school. In a elam iskayim, elai they have al piv shalem. The Torah that they learn with their Rebbe holds up the world. Comes out that someone who teaches children Torah does not only have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is not only doing chesed to the tinaikis, to the children of the Beis Rabban, but he's doing chesed to the world, because he's bringing this goodness into the world which holds up the world. And so on. There are many, many examples of this. So here we have that the principal quality of Abraham was chesed. And this he learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's also his principal quality is chesed, especially in his creation of the world. And Abraham learned HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the creation of the world. And chesed is someone who has goodness in him and must share that goodness with others. Not satisfied to contain it for himself. And therefore goes to great lengths to share it with others and to give it with others. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have kept his goodness to himself. He didn't have to create a world in order to bring goodness to the Nivroim, to his creations. And when you bring physical goodness to a person, this is enormous chesed. When you bring the chesed of Torah to a person, Torah also is this principal quality of goodness that's shared by to others. And this is even a greater chesed, because there is no greater chesed that you could bring to a person. Now, this quality, however, this chesed, is not an easy quality to gain. The Maral writes that something which is basically of a physical level cannot do chesed, because physical man was created from the earth, and the earth does not have the capability of giving. The earth basically is a recipient. It constantly receives, and if we ever see it giving, it's not giving. If we ever see it giving, it's merely reacting. It's reacting to what was put in it. If you put something into the earth, you'll get back from it. But by itself, it can't give anything. This level of giving that we're referring to, this is why we find it by Abraham and his children and his nation, that was also a nation that was Nivdal, that was elevated above a physical plane. And he says, this is the explanation in the Mishnah of us, which states, Le Amoretz Chosid. It says, the Amoretz cannot be a Chosid. Amoretz is referring to an ignoramus, but it's Medame, it compares him to the Oretz. In other words, it means a very earthly person. A person who's a very earthly person cannot be a Chosid. Chosid comes from the word Chesed. The Gemara says, what is chosid? Mishum is chasid im acherim, someone who can do chesed to others, or can do chesed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An earthly being cannot come to that. He has to be elevated above the earthly level. The Rambam brings, we've quoted this a number of times, he brings in Hilchas Matnas Anim, Halacha Yud. He says, Chayovin ono lizore b'mitzvah stoka yese mikol mitzvah zese. He says, it's even by stoka, he says, his chesed is even going a little higher. He says, when it comes to the mitzvah of stoka, we have to be more careful with this mitzvah than any other positive mitzvah in the Torah. That itself is a great statement. Because when we say any other positive mitzvah in the Torah, we're referring to tefillin, and we're referring to matzah, and we're referring to lulav, and sukkah, and esreg, and we're referring to 248 mitzvahs. And the Rambam says, by tztoka you have to be more careful. He says, why? So he explains, because all of the other mitzvahs are mitzvahs of the Torah, and tztoka is a mitzvah of the Torah. So from that aspect, they're equal. But tztoka has something which no other mitzvah has. What is that? Shatztoka simen letzadik zera Avraham Avinu. Tztoka is the hallmark that you are from the seed of Abraham. You're from the seed of Avraham. You put on tefillin, no proof that you come from Avraham. You can, a non-Jew will get tefillin and put it on also. You come and you shake a lulav, a non-Jew can shake a lulav also. You want to put on tzitzis? Non-Jew can put on tzitzis also. So where will be the distinction in the way they give that tztoka? He says that will be the distinction. And great fundraisers will tell you, nobody gives tztoka, nobody gives charity the way Jews give charity. That will be the distinction. He says that's why we must be very careful, because that, besides being a great mitzvah, like other mitzvahs in the Torah, that's an identification. That's an identification that the person comes from Avraham Avinu. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I know, and I have taken Avraham because I know that he will teach his children to follow in his qualities, which were the qualities of Tzedakah and Chesed. And the Rambam goes on to say further that if you come across a Jew that can't open his hand to others, Yeslochus liyehusa, he says his lineage is suspect. This is what the Rambam writes. Because the Gemara says, Chesed l'umim chatas. It says, when the nations of the world do chesed, the majority of times, the majority of nations are always exceptions, but he says, the majority of nations, when they do chesed, chatos means it's lacking. This means they're giving, but they're expecting something in return. For example, you have foreign relations policies, government policies, give grants to other nations. Sure, they're giving grants to other nations, but they're getting something in return. They're getting an ally, they're getting a treaty, whatever it might be. That's not chesed. Chesed, we're talking about, that's bartering, that's trade. Chesed is where you have so much goodness you want to share it with someone. This ability to give generosity, this ability of generosity, open hand and an open heart, and expecting nothing in return from it, not even wanting anything in return, oh, that's a different quality. That's a very, very superb, high quality. That's a spiritual quality. That's not a physical quality. And he says that is an identification mark of the seed of Abraham. That's what Abraham brought into the world. Now, we must realize that this didn't come to Abraham in an easy manner. We must not mislead ourselves to think that Abraham was born and he became the great Baal Chesed. No. Abraham worked and labored all his life in this. He gave his life for this in order to acquire this quality. It was not bechinam. It was not for no reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shebochav Abraham chose Abraham from all the rest of the world. This was the perfection of Abraham. This was a lifetime's labor and a lifetime's dedication, he and Sarah. The fact is, we see that he was willing to give his life on this. When he understood that the whole world went astray, he didn't say, well, that's their problem, and then worry about himself or his own family. But he went on a campaign in which he risked his life. And even when his life was threatened, he did not stop. When the angels came, he was ready to go on a campaign even against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayigash, he came l'milchoma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you destroy righteous together with evil? When the angels came, Abraham was a chayla mesukin. He was very seriously sick. The Gemara says that anyone 3 days after Bris Mila is in great pain and is still besakona, still in danger. Abraham was 99 years old. So he was very seriously sick. And still he couldn't contain himself. He got up and he ran after the angels, and look at everything he did for the angels. And we see his enormous influence because he had a nephew. The name of the nephew was Lot. Lot was not known to be a great tzaddik. He was not a great righteous person. The fact is, it's when Lot decided to separate, and that was his first mistake, that he should separate himself Mikidume Shalilam, the Chazal say, from such a great person as Abraham, he chose to go to Sodom. So one of the reasons why is because Motzah Minas Minay, evil is attracted to evil. So by no means was he a great tzaddik. Yet we find that he also was willing, he also was prepared to give his life for Hachnosis Orchim. When the angels came, right away he opened his house for them. And when the people of Sodom came and started to want, they wanted the guests, he refused to give. He was ready to give his life for it. And it states that his wife turned into a pillar of salt. When she looked back, the angels told her not to look back, because really you should be destroyed the same as they, so you shouldn't see in their destruction. But the reason why we're saving you is in the schus of Abraham. But why did she turn into a pillar of salt? Because when guests used to come, Lot used to say, give them a little salt. Salt was a very valuable commodity in those days. And his wife would criticize him, and she would say, even this bad custom that you learned from Abraham to give guests salt, you're bringing here also. So we see Lot, that was no tzaddik, he himself was prepared to give his life for chesed. This was the enormous influence that Abraham had on him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the reason why I'm choosing Abraham is not only for his own greatness, but it says at the beginning of our parsha, because I know that he will educate his children in his ways after him. This will be something that's lasting. So this is the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the chesed of Abraham. Now, we can learn from here for ourselves and for our children. But it gives one a lot to think about. When we take a look today at our generation, and when I refer to our generation, I'm not necessarily referring to the nations of the world. Let's refer to our own people, to our own youth. If we examine the situation, we see that we have become, especially in regards to our children, extremely self-centered. Where the overriding consideration of life today has become what is good for us and what is good for our children. Full stop. And this is what we educate our children in. An example. Probably the greatest preoccupation of parents today, and this becomes the greatest preoccupation of children, is panosa. Livelihood, profession. I have to teach my children a profession, which is good, it's proper, it's a mitzvah. But this starts from at about 5 years old, 5-6 years old already. Parents are, the fact is, I think that someone who's a little above the age of having 5 or 6 year olds do not even realize how far it's gone. We've got today's parents demand in schools computers for 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, because they have to learn how to prepare themselves for later life. What's later life? For profession. So this preoccupation with profession starts at about 5 years old. For the next 20 years, it becomes the major motivator of the parents and the children. till at least 25 years old. 20 years. Now, all of that is on the basis of what's best for the child. Where will he be making the best living? Where can he make the most money? And then, once a person finally graduates university, the rest of his life is dedicated to that. It's gone off balance a bit. We have in our society today where it is accepted, not only is it accepted, but it is admired. It's considered something which is good, that children must have a good time. They must enjoy themselves. Well, if we're talking about 5-year-olds or 6-year-olds, fine. We're not talking about 5 or 6-year-olds. We're talking about 20-year-olds. 25-year-olds are still treated as children. They must have a good time. I've heard from parents, they must go to university because the campus experience, life, they deserve it. Good time on the campus. They must take a year off after graduation to travel. It's a good experience. It's a good time. Travel a year around the world. Travel to Europe, to France, to England, to America, to Florida, to Las Vegas, to California. Even the attitude to Eretz Yisrael. Must take a year off to tour Israel. It's good for them. I know my father. At 10 years old, he was working and helping to support the family. At 15 years old, he already had a position with the Bell Telephone Company that he was to hold for 50 years till he was 65. But then he was an office boy. He wanted to become an accountant. And he hadn't had him a trip because he couldn't afford to finish high school. So he went to night school while working. So at 15, yes, he was studying, but not on a campus. He was working all day and helping support the family and going to night school. And then he qualified and became an accountant for the company. And I know my father was not an exception. And you talk to all the old-timers here, they tell you exactly the same thing. Exactly. How they came over when they were 6 years old, or 8 years old, or 10 years old, or 12 years old. And they educated themselves. And they went to work. And they brought over the rest of the family. And they grew up to be fine people. Fine people. Great people. I know people who went to Israel. But they went to Israel to help build the land. To help fight in the army for Israel. Or to study day and night in the yeshiva in Israel. But now we have, look, they deserve a year in Israel traveling. We have lost sight. What do we want to convince our children? Do we want to convince our children that life is a bed of roses? Is that what we want to show them? Until one day they're woken up to the reality that it's not a bed of roses, and we've never taught them how to cope with life. A wise man once said that we're giving our children everything we didn't have, but we're not giving them anything we did have. And recently a psychiatrist told me, he said he read in a journal what another psychiatrist had written. Why is it today that we hear so much of stress. Stress, stress, stress. He says, 50 years ago, the word was never mentioned. What is this, a new disease? So he wrote, I'll tell you why. Because 50 years ago it was called life. Now it's called stress. 50 years ago they taught children how to cope with life. And how do you cope with life? You take a child and you tell them what life is all about. And that you're put here for a purpose. And you're put here not for only yourself. But you're put here because there's a creator here. There's a God here. And he expects things from you and he demands from you. And you're put here to do good for others and to sacrifice for others. Like your grandfather Abraham did. This is what people were taught 50 years ago. And at 6 or 7 or 8 years old, they were already carrying a burden. And they carried more and more. And there they were taught how to cope with life. And today we bring up a child in an incubator. We bring him up in some type of vacuum. Where now he deserves a good time. He deserves to travel. Shouldn't work too hard. Universities finish exams in November. And they start again 4 months later in February or March. And so on. And the whole preoccupation is do something which will be good for you in later years. And even when it comes to married couples, don't have children. You'll have children later on. Right now you enjoy a good time together. We're not teaching them to carry a yoke. And we're not teaching them how to cope with life. Life is no longer called life, it's called stress. And this becomes the parental responsibility. Parental responsibility, the great responsibility is to teach the child how to cope in a realistic world. Shlomo HaMelech said, Zuchor es baracho bimei bachurasecho. He advised differently. He didn't advise take the world trips. He advised remember your creator when you're young. And then you will have success in the world. And in Echo, it states, this is at the end of Kehelis, Yud Beis Aleph in Echo and Perek Beis, Pasukov Zain Tev HaGever Asheyiso Ol Binu'urav. How good it is, how fortunate it is for the person who was taught how to carry the burden of life when he's young. Then he'll be able to cope when he's older. When life's problems grow. The fact is, Chesed means the giving of yourself to others. It's a sacrifice. Are we teaching our children how to sacrifice? Are we teaching them sometimes that they must think of what's not good for themselves, but what's good for someone else also? I once mentioned here, I was once walking out of shul, and there was a man next to me walking out with a few other people, and his children had gone off someplace overseas, and he was all upset that his children were leaving. And he starts saying, he says, you know, it's our fault, because we never taught our children to do anything except what was good for themselves. That's what we taught them. He says, we weren't taught that way. We were taught that we must always do good, what's good for mama, what's good for papa, what's good for your brother. But we didn't teach our children that way. He says, it's our fault. Or for example, if you would talk to someone and someone would come and discuss with you, he would say, I'm thinking maybe I should leave South Africa. If you would tell him, he'd ask you, what should I do? If you would tell him, what's best for the community, if you should leave or not leave, he would laugh at you. Well, what kind of answer is that? What kind of consideration is that? I'm concerned what's best for me, not what's best for the community. That's not even a consideration. This is how we have been mechanech, how we have directed our children, just contrary to Avraham. And this was not only Avraham, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I chose in you, Avraham, because I know you will instill this in your children. This was the responsibility of Israel. Not to do what's good for them, but to do what's good for the world. To be prepared to sacrifice for a world. And yet we're turning this all around. And that's why you find people that when it comes to opening their pockets and opening their hearts, they tell you charity begins at the home. Yes, charity begins at the home. True. But Abraham told us it doesn't stop at the home. Unfortunately, by these people, it begins and it stops. The Chazal tell us HaMalamed is Ben Chaveri. The Maral says, why doesn't say you teach your own children? He says, because when you teach your own children, it's a great mitzvah. But that's almost like teaching yourself. That's part of you. We're talking of the chesed when you teach children of a stranger. Chesed is what you do for others, not what you do for yourself. Yeah, for sure, it must start with your family. But that's where it must start. But must not end there. And what more could you give a child than the responsibility and the opportunity to reach out for greatness? Could you give more to a child? Instead, we traded in because we are distracted by the nations of the world that chesed lumim chatzis, where they are built on what is good for us. Let me close with an interesting story. A few years ago, I was visiting New York. I visited an old friend of mine that I hadn't seen for years. This friend was involved in a new yeshiva in a Midwestern town in America for a number of years. It was a small, comparatively small Jewish community. And there he was a newlywed, and he had two children. Later he moved to New York, the greatest Jewish community in America, and one of the greatest Jewish communities in the world. Became involved in yeshivas there. He sent his children to the best schools in Brooklyn. He had more children there. He confided in me. He says, all of these other children do not compare to his first two children. He says, it's a different league. The two children that were in this Midwest town, with comparatively very humble facilities, he says, they grew up learning to give. They grew up with a responsibility, with a pioneership. He says, they are so much greater than my other children. When you teach someone to give, he's going to end up far much ahead than those that you teach to take. And this is what Avraham gave to the world, and this is what he taught Klal Yisrael. This is what we can learn from the chesed of Abraham.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGJ.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.